Chapter 1. Build Talent. In early 1997, Mark Randolph and I started thinking about opening a mail movie business. Amazon was doing well with books. Why not films? But mail was expensive. $4 to send movies each way. Then, a friend told me about DVDs, which came onto the market that fall. I sent myself some CDs in the mail. It cost 32 cents, and they arrived 2 days later. In May 1998, we started Netflix, the world's first online store renting DVDs. We had 30 employees and 925 movie titles, almost all the DVDs you could get at the time. By early 2001, we had 400,000 subscribers and 120 employees. To avoid the management mistakes of pure software, there weren't too many rules or controls. But Netflix still wasn't a great place to work. Then, in the spring of 2001, a lot of internet companies suddenly failed, and there was no more money for tech companies. Unhappy employees were soon unhappier because we had to fire one-third of them. I sat down with Mark and Patty McCord, head of human resources, and we carefully put employees into two groups: the 80 best ones that we wanted to keep, and the 40 not-so-good ones that had to go. Creative people who worked and collaborated well immediately went into the keepers group. Some people were great, but their work was just okay. Others worked very hard, but could make bad decisions and needed a lot of help. A few were very talented, achieved a lot, but complained too much. Most of these people had to go. It wasn't easy. I was worried about the motivation of the keepers, who might feel angry that the company wasn't loyal to its employees. Now that they also had to do the work of those who were fired from the company, might they be unhappier than before? The day we told people about their jobs was terrible. People cried, shouted, or walked away angrily. Those who stayed were sad, but in a few weeks, things were a lot better. A third of our employees lost their jobs, but the office was suddenly full of life, passion, and ideas. I couldn't believe it. The same 80 people were getting everything done with a passion that seemed greater than before. They were working longer hours, but they were happy. I was happier too. I woke up every morning and couldn't wait to get to the office. Patty jumped into the car with a big smile on her face, saying, "Reed, what's going on? Is this like being in love?" Patty was right. The office was full of people who were in love with their work. I'm not saying that it's good for people to lose their jobs, and we're lucky that we haven't had to do anything like that at Netflix again, but in the days and months after, I understood more about both employee motivation and management responsibility. The lessons we learned became the beginning of the things that make Netflix successful. Before we continue, I'd like to tell you about Patty McCord, who was important in the development of Netflix for over 10 years. She has been a good friend and colleague, maybe because we're so different. I know about math and technology. She understands how people behave. I see numbers and rules that join people in conversations. Patty sees feelings and behavior that I cannot see. During our many car rides, we talked about the changes at Netflix, and we decided that it was a better workplace because of what she called talent density. Before people lost their jobs, there was some talent across the company. But later, with only the most talented 80 people left, there was more talent for each employee. High talent density. We learned that everyone wants to work for a company with high talent density. High performers do very well in environments where the talent density is high. Our employees were learning more from others, and teams were achieving more faster. People were more motivated and happier. Most important, working with really talented people was exciting, inspiring, and a lot of fun. This is still true today with 7,000 employees. Today, I understand that a team with one or two okay performers brings down the performance of everyone on the team. For top performers, a great workplace isn't a wonderful office or a free lunch. It's about enjoying the talented and collaborative people around you who can help you grow. When everybody is excellent, performance goes up as employees learn from and motivate others.
From the 2001 job losses, Reed learned about performance, both good and bad. If you have okay performers, many excellent people perform just okay, too. If you have a team with only high performers, each pushes the others to achieve more. Will Phelps, of the University of New South Wales in Australia, did a study to explore this behavior in the work environment. He asked teams of four students to complete a management task in 45 minutes. But he didn't tell the students that some teams had actors playing different parts. Someone who doesn't want to work. Someone who says lots of stupid things. Or someone who complains all the time. Phelps found that in teams of really talented and intelligent people, everyone behaved worse because of one person's bad behavior. He noticed, too, how others in the team started behaving just like the actor.
The study showed what Patty and I learned in 2001. If you have a group with a few okay performers, that brings down the performance of the organization. In 2002, with a new understanding of what makes a great place to work, we decided that we wanted to do everything we could to keep the talent density in the company. We wanted the very best employees. We wanted to give them top pay. And we wanted to train our managers to fire any employees who didn't perform excellently.